committee calls it the city clerk's rule.
Second.
Second, okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay.
Remember, there was a girl in second, in my second grade, yeah, we had, it's a Catholic grammar school, sort of like 45 kids in the class. We had this teacher, this really old Miss Lockley, and she walks down the hall for some reason, and the kids start screwing around, and there was this girl, Cheryl Barbarito, who walked up and started writing everybody's name, who was making noise. So I was thinking, well, it's like the Cheryl Barbarito rule.
I wonder where she is today.
I'm just curious as to what scar she left on Phil's.
Yeah, exactly, it's like, wow.
His name was on the top.
This person took it upon herself to rat everybody out.
His name was the first one on the list, that's what you remember.
Oh, apostrophe wrong, thank you.
That's right, there's a capital in there, Barbarito.
I can't remember her name, though.
Yeah, it was like so amazing that someone felt compelled. Take attendance of the miscreants.
Okay, all right.
All right.
All righty.
So this becomes effective when?
After the council approves it.
Which we expect to be January.
No, probably December, so maybe we'll just start it in January.
Pressure.
There's a backdoor rule in the way that if someone doesn't want to come to the meeting anymore, he doesn't need to.
Resigns.
Yes. Well, he doesn't need to resign anymore, he just need to have.
Well, if you know you're not coming, it would be good to just resign instead of just not show up.
You don't need to feel anymore, just say, okay, I'm not coming.
Okay, you got through it, so we did it.
I like the anticipation of, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be here.
We have total agreement.
Thank you.
Okay, we did it.
How about the like early leave, like if I need to?
You're good.
You're good, as long as you check.
So maybe, you know, in the meetings, we could have like the voting.
Oh, we could do that, we can move things around, like if we need to vote on items, move them to, if you have to leave, because you have to get to work, I know that, and so, okay, and we can do that.
You can do that at the meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so we are on to number 6.2, the discussion of Parks and Community Services 10-year master plan. You, Kathy, right?
Yes, that's why I'm here.
Okay.
I know, Shelley, you know, but, and of course, you know as well, Dawn, so we said, if you've seen this, but we had a joint meeting with the Parks and Community Services Commission and the City Council to talk about the Parks and Community Services 10-year master plan. And it was a great conversation and a lot of good ideas came forward. And Eric also suggested that this group might be a great group to grab some feedback from as we start on this process. So you might or might not be familiar, but the Parks and Community Services Department does have a master plan currently. And in actuality, we've had three master plans over time, over the last years since 1985 when the department, since the department was established in 1985. So every 10 years, we stop and take a hard look at where we're going, what we want to do, what the vision of the residents of San Ramon is, and then kind of readjust our focus. And so that was done from 1991 to 2001, 96 to 2006, and 2007 to 2017. And here we are, ready to start on our next one. So what we have right now in our budget is we have $100,000 to hire a consultant to assist us with this process because it's a pretty all-encompassing process. Now, master plans, if you started from ground up with no other information, do cost more than that. They'd be more like $150,000 to $200,000. We don't feel like we need to start completely from the ground up because we've done this several times and we have a master plan that has a very thorough inventory of our parks. It even has some mention of trails in there. It has all of our facilities. So we don't necessarily need every element, so we think that we can accomplish this with $100,000. However, in order to do this as efficiently as possible, we would like the scope of work that we send out to gather a consultant to do the work to be as clear and concise as possible and to bring forward the most important aspects that are going to need to be included in the master plan. Now, this may change as we get somebody on board, and it may adjust a little bit, but we want to make sure that what we say we want at the front end here is what we really want. And so that's why I'm here today, just to gather some more feedback from all of you in regards to the kinds of things that you think would be important for us to look at and to have included in this next 10-year master plan. So some of the key elements that you would find in a master plan, and you can find them in just about every city if you want to do some research, would be an inventory and analysis of all the existing parks, facilities, and programs that the city has. And there's definitely a large portion of the master plan process is devoted to community feedback because that's essential. So that's going out into the community, doing surveys, going to events and programs, gathering from the people, one-on-one meetings with stakeholders, one-on-one meetings with user groups, to really gather what they want and what their vision of San Ramon is for the next 10 years. That's really key because then that helps us create the building blocks for the master plan. We would have community needs assessment based on all of that information. We would set some goals and objectives within there in order to have some benchmarks that we'd like to achieve. Really important is to identify funding sources and ways to fund what we want to do, and then a prioritized action plan and some timelines so that it doesn't just become a book on a shelf, but becomes a usable document that kind of says, okay, in the next 5 years, you're going to need to get to X, so we need to be budgeting, we need to be planning ahead to get there. So that's kind of the big picture of what this is. So the process, as I mentioned, would be an RFQ. That's what we've got set up right now. We've got a draft scope that we're playing with and readjusting based on feedback. We've got the budget. We would be going out for that RFQ probably in the next month. We'd hope to get a consultant on maybe around the first of the year or so, depending on our timing. And then they would go on a 6 to 10 month process with community feedback, community meetings, et cetera, so that we would then come out with a master plan by the end of the year of 2018. So throughout that process, there's going to be numerous opportunities for this committee and residents to get involved and talk about what they want to see in San Ramon. So you're just at the very front end of this process, again, to create the scope for our RFQ. So to have some ways to guide our conversation today and for me to have some chance to get some of this information and hear your thoughts, we just have some discussion questions that we can kind of go through and maybe let you all address and talk about, and then we'll gather that information into some notes from this meeting.
Just to add to this, the one component that's different this time versus before is the real high emphasis we have on open space and trails, particularly as we weave that into the very essence of our land use planning now. So before it was kind of, you know, an add-on piece. Now we're thinking of, you know, open space not only on the edges but also within the community. So the Iron Horse Trail being one, the move to having some more passive parks, which again attract a different part. We've kind of moved away from the jungle gym culture to really try to create some beauty within a lot of pressure to urbanize. So that's a lot of the balance that we're really trying to address here and how we go forward. If you imagine the next 10 years, we're scheduled to expand to 90,000 to 95,000 people in the general plan. So that's another 10,000 people, I believe, that we're looking at potentially having here. And obviously the pressure for housing continues through the state legislature. So we just want to think about how do we preserve kind of the beauty and open space of our community as well in the midst of that. That's why we brought it here in particular. So that's really our goal today, is to have that conversation with you guys here.
So does anybody want to dive in on your first thoughts? I mean, this one, I think this is the no-brainer question for this group. Should we expand the focus trails in open space?
Kathy, could you give me a little background? Because it seemed to me when I read, because I know you did a little survey, a community survey, right? Wasn't there some type of survey done or something that I was reading something online that people really cared about parks and trails and all that? Wasn't there something done maybe a year ago, or?
Well, we have done it when we've done the master plan. So okay. The last master plan would have been like 10 years ago that we actually did that.
I thought I had read
we survey regularly.
Oh, you do, okay. Well, anyway, what I was reading was, and then I looked kind of through the action plan, or what, I'm not sure what you call it in the city, and it did seem like there was a lot of trails work that fell in with parks and community services. Mm-hmm. that I didn't know about, to be honest, because I think like Old Ranch, I saw in the plan was some trail building from the senior center. So what is the connection? I mean, what when it comes to parks and community services, when it comes to signage and benches and those kind of things, is that in parks and community services or is that separate?
Well, it's kind of umbrella together.
Okay.
So we have parks and community services and public services. And so although we call it a parks and community services master plan, it's parks and it's programs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both. And so the two departments are very woven at that point in time. So in this plan, I would see, you know, trailhead, trail nodes that
right.
start off would be something that would definitely could be addressed in the master plan, because the master plan kind of carries all of those park pieces.
Okay.
And it would be looking at potentially what parks could flip over or change based on what the community wants or needs. So in a new city, it would be just empty space and you're developing. We're, are we middle-aged yet?
Yeah.
So that means that we're going to look at things that still need to be developed and would be addressed in a master plan, and as well as looking at parks that might need to be flipped or changed in use because of the changing demographic. And so to your question about trails, yes, I think that has come forward, that people are interested in developed trails.
Right.
Being maybe slightly different than just an open space trail that's like on just a casual path up and over a hill,
mm-hmm.
but you know, a developed trail had a developed trail with markers and not paved, but
right.
it's not going to be grown over by grass.
Right.
Got it.
Well, just to clarify, I understand. Speaking of community, we're really talking about city limits of San Ramon, or do your scope actually include the bookends of the city?
This would be within our city limits. I think this master plan would,
okay.
yeah. So
but
the
connections, Kathy, or to John's point, are beyond that. I mean, there was talk about how do you integrate with East Bay Parks, because they're on our edges. But so that was an element to it that was important, I think.
No, I mean, that is something, again, we can put some of these things in the scope, you know, that we want to address, or we want to have our consultant give a look at what that would be or how we would do that. But I think primarily it's usually within the city limits, but coming up to our limit line.
Well, I think, John, to your point, though, that traditionally we've done kind of an internal master plan, but we really are in an era of partnerships with other governmental agencies, so maybe that should be
part
of what
we explore.
But it
just seems like there's kind of an area here where in a lot of areas of situations we have the East Bay Regional Parks with the city limits, and then there's this.
You got Faria, for instance,
in
that's that connects from an East Bay Park to an East Bay Park potentially.
Yeah,
so
right.
that trail.
And the ideas of trails through those areas, you know, is a real important part of our function.
Right.
And so it would be great to, you know, to reach out into those areas.
So that's good.
Yeah. You know, sitting through the joint meeting, I thought one of the important things that I took away was a recognition of open space and the trails and how important they are to the community going forward. You know, one of the things that I noted was in the master plan, it's not, the open space areas are not used in the calculation of park space. And within the master plan for the overall city, we have an objective of X amount of acreage per Y amount of population. And what I heard from, you know, the council, including Phil and the rest of the council, was a willingness to consider, you know, maybe looking at that in a different way. And a willingness, but it would have to be developed. It wouldn't have, you know, to what Kathy's talking about, the parking lots and the restrooms, some of the paved trail. It wouldn't be, you know, just all open space would be included in that. So I think that's important for us to recognize. And I think that brings to this committee an even increased importance for input and thoughts.
Right. I think you're right. I think that would be a good, I do think, within the master plan, yeah, exactly what Don said, the staging areas, the entrances, all that probably should fall into parks and community services.
not outside our boundaries, but within, and there's plenty of areas within. So that would make sense to me. So
let me ask you one question off that, just for the group to consider. Is there a distinction between open space that's actually used and open space that's actually visual? So we'll get big, large land dedications, you know, hundreds and hundreds of acres. But even like on that Tassajara Valley one, tons of that's potentially dedicated, but only so much of it can actually be accessed.
Right.
Like how do we, I mean, should that be something we address or look at or evaluate, or is that just?
Well, it needs to be addressed somewhere. I don't know if it's in this master plan,
right.
But.
Okay.
I would suggest a couple of things. One, I wanted, Don brought in, I think it was, was it Palo Alto?
Yeah.
It was, they did a, the city of Palo Alto's done it has a really well thought out, well presented approach to a lot of these same issues. So they had, you know, because I think they even integrated to the Bay Trails or something yeah. like that. So, you know, that was important. I think it's also just East Bay Parks is going through their own, I would present, like, you know, when is that acquired land on the west side, when does that become accessible, and how does it become accessible, is important for us to integrate with. And the same thing likely, hopefully, will happen on the east side as well. Mm-hmm. So to the extent of what does, you know, I would like to see our parks and trails connect to ultimately Mount Diablo State Park, right? So, you know, what do those connections look like? To the extent that San Ramon might help juice something like that in some way, is something to think about. So, you know, there's some important elements like that. So, I know that Bob Nesbitt has said, look, it takes years to sort out where are you going to put trails and all the rest of that. And to the point about you know, a lot of open space is also rangeland, right? I mean, it's actively, it needs to be grazed. How do you ultimately, and grazing contracts have rights, but they also have, there's places where you want to be able to do something, and how do you, over the course of time, weave your desires for maybe a trail somewhere with the obvious, you know, the cattle are going to come through there. What does that look like? Where does it go? Those sorts of things. So it's a hopefully an integrated whole over the course of time. It's not like that stuff's going to change in a year, but thinking about over the course of 10 years is I think that's an important element to this. There was one other thing about, you know, the changing demographics. Part of that was like the you know, the Indian community, the older folks like to come and hang out in the park. Mm-hmm. And I know that the mayor pushed along some shade structures, for instance, because trees don't tend to cooperate in terms of their pace of growing. So there were some things like that that are actually, you know, how does a demographic influence something like that? Or frankly, cricket, you know, those sorts of things. There's a bunch of, there's elements like that that over the course of time really do you need to think through. Shade structures are not inexpensive if they're intended to be around for more than a weekend. So, you know, there were some things like that that were discussed. The Palo Alto thing is actually, it's worth reading.
Yeah.
It's very well done.
Well, I think one of the things that I found interesting about the Palo Alto thing is they talked about bookending their city. And trying to connect the open space on the hills down to the bay, and they were actually laying out corridors within their cities of how they were going to interconnect that. And I think that goes to some of the thoughts of some of the councilmen, and I know clearly something that the mayor is thinking about is how do we make it more walkable, bikeable kind of thing. So as we look at, you know, how do we take, you know, north, you know, the east and the west, and figure out a way that we can bring it together over time? You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but you know, I think that's in my opinion, is an important part of what needs to be built into the master plan, but also something that the open space committee should have a say in.
Because there's some destinations too that we don't really think about that, like, I don't know if any of you have been up to San Damiano. It's a Franciscan retreat thing that's an amazing piece of property. It's not that far from where Faria is. So, you know, you can, there's connections like that, that over the course of time, it's like, hey San Damiano, we'd like to do some place finding, for instance, as you can get from here to there by this. And they're always inviting people up there. It doesn't bother them to have, they like having people come up there. So there's like connections like that that, it isn't just East Bay Parks or something. It's a really, I mean, it's a beautiful place to hike too. And, you know, there's some things like that that, whether it's the state park or whether it's this or that, that are connection points that should be thought of with the notion that it's on our edge. What's beyond our edge that people are interested in you know, enjoying or recreating or walking to?
Only way to get there that I know of is to go up the road. I just walk up
right,
the
yeah,
street.
Yeah.
Is there any other way to get to
something? Yeah, I guess it's kind of in lost.
There's a trail. Yeah. There's a trail that goes up, but it's not for the faint of heart. But over the course of time, it would be. It's just a thought.
Well, you know, building on just some of the comments. I mean, if the city or if we start looking at, you know, facilitating or helping build trailheads and restrooms and paving, you know, the city has a long history of partnerships with different agencies. So, I mean, if we can partner with East Bay Regional Parks by saying, you know what, part of what we'll do is we'll build the entry points, you build the trails, that's the way we can stretch our dollars and actually get more people out there. I thought it was interesting, some of the comments around the table of you know, millennial people, or, you know, they're looking for things to do, right, in parks and hiking and things like that are becoming more and more important for them as a part of their life. You know, some of our older folks may want a flat park, passive park to go for a walk, but, you know, the younger folks want to go out onto the trails and that. So, I mean, I think that's important for us to think about, how can we stretch our dollars by combining it with, you know, other agencies, you know, like say Mount Diablo and East Bay Regional Park. By us doing a little bit at the beginning, maybe we can get a lot more in the end.
I have a couple planning-based questions maybe you can help with. One is, how do we integrate the master plan at the same time we look at that more density housing that's coming across your desk all the time? So, you know, that's obviously going to be the reality of what's going to continue to happen, especially with the new state law. And then two, we have this new open space impact fee. How do we spend that money effectively? Have you guys thought about that at all? So you're collecting it?
No. That's a short answer about how we thought about what we're going to spend it on. No, because it's going to take a while to collect it. Let me go back to your first question, which had to do with the land use planning. The fact of the matter is that most of the development you're going to see is going to be infill development. You're going to take a two-story building and make it four stories. We're not going to be expanding or able to expand into basically open space because we don't have any buildable open space in this town. So I think the challenge for Parks and Rec is going to be, you talk about another 10,000 people, right? That's probably correct. And what do you do for the sort of the core areas? For example, we're studying Crow Canyon specific plan. There really aren't any parks over there. Now, the Crow Canyon specific plan basically calls for sort of a trail and a passive park along San Ramon Creek. But that was sort of cheek to jowl with pushing Twin Creeks through to that area, which probably isn't going to happen. So now you've got a situation where you have a 169-unit apartment building going up somewhat adjacent to the creek, and the plan calls for developments along the creek all the way from Fostoria/Deerwood
north, excuse me, south to probably the office condos down there.
But is there a plan? Because that would make sense, the infill. Is there a plans when you do the infill to that trail along? I mean, that's to me where the intersection is between parks and open space. Is a trail, I don't care if it's paved or whatever, along the creek, is that built in?
Right, if you look at the Crow Canyon specific plan, it calls for basically a passive park along the creek. But a lot of the funding that was designed for public improvements in that plan area were indicated to come from redevelopment with a large, with a capital R, and that's not going to happen.
But you've got this other, the impact fee money, perhaps. I mean, I don't know how much it will be.
Right, but I mean, there's probably about 10 different people want a chunk of that money.
Of course.
I mean, obviously, some people wanted to use to acquire open space, not necessarily in fee simple, but through easements and so forth like that. There's just going to be a lot of demands on that money, and I just don't know how much is going to be freed up to work on actual parks or trails. I don't know.
But for the master plan, for this purpose, the master plan for parks and community services, I mean, those are the kind of conversations. I mean, I don't think that master plan's not going to say you're going to fund things. It's just going to like maybe overlook, like, yes, when we put new development, if there's a possibility for a trail that will connect to this, because eventually you want to have this walking, biking community with trail connections. And I think it's not really open space, but it's a little bit of open space. So.
Well, I think it is the Palo Alto plan that is really unique, because they do these overlays over the city that kind of show, you know, here we are now, and here's the trail system we would like to have eventually, and how it would connect. And then identifying potential funding sources for all things, because you can't have everything unless you can pay for it.
Right.
So I think for this exercise, I think that's probably what the city would like, would be to have the overlay of the trails and the overlay that shows trailheads as well.
There's really another source of fund, though. You know, there's the open space funds, but there's also funds collected for new developments for parks. So there's two sources of funds. Now, my understanding in the past, some of that funds that were collected for new parks were also used to maintain parks.
To redevelop them, like the shade structures.
Yes.
Like there was a desire for shade structures. This is a good example of taking the park development fund and adding shade structures to parks that didn't have
So,
or redeveloping a playground or redeveloping a space that needs to be redone. So.
So as we look at Crow Canyon's specific plan, if there's 700 some homes right now, in roughly in the plan, there will be money coming in. Now it's a question of whether we prioritize where that money goes.
Right.
And that goes back to what Kathy was saying, is if we have, you know, if we have overlays and we have, you know, we have some ideas of what it's going to cost, then we have a way by which the city council and the parks commission and the planning commission can maybe prioritize or focus where the money should go.
I think just one of the things that Eric said, which was, should open space be developable or usable or just open space? And I think you look at it two ways. Certainly the West Side Hills, if you just keep it open and not have access to it, you're accomplishing some part of your purpose, which is open space preservation of natural environment out there. For example, one of the things I was going to mention is we have another hearing coming up next Tuesday on the Chang property, which sits on the west side of Bollinger Canyon near the corner of Bollinger and Crow Canyon. The current plan they proposed, which is also mentioned in the Northwest Pacific Plan, is 43 estate-style homes. But 75% of the property that's owned there is going to be kept undeveloped. And they're talking to East Bay Regional Parks about dedicating some space there, plus having some trails along that go along there, which is what Phil was talking about, which to me is an appropriate use of the space that doesn't cost the city any particular amount of money. If the developer of the project's willing to set aside funds to help create trails to each Bay Regional Park, so you have some type of partnership going back and forth to stretch your dollar, as Don was saying. I mean, that's sort of the end result you want to do. But I think that's where you're going to be preserving the West Side Hills. East Side Hills probably already pretty much taken care of. I don't think anybody's going to be doing any building out there as long as you keep it south of the county line. I mean, if I drove up
Camino Tassajara the other day. It's rather shocking, isn't it? What was so shocking, besides my cousin building the ranch out there, is that if you go up to the right, there's a whole development that used to be the road. We used to say, I think it was a refuse site, wasn't it? But you can see that they're going to put a lot of homes there. So Dublin is building ridgeline to ridgeline. Well, there won't be ridgelines. There'll be truncated hills with lots of homes out there. So, yeah, I mean, then it becomes a little more important when you have, you know, wall-to-wall homes out there to preserve just space just so you see it. I mean, right now, probably the only open spaces they're going to have is the ones going up to all the satellites that read all your telephone communications.
All right. Jay, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
There, one thing I'd point out as well, there's one of the reasons to have significant conversations with organizations like East Bay Parks is because East also informed our thinking. We have spent basically all of the WW funds, which are East Bay Parks monies, parks infrastructure, and it doesn't necessarily have to go to that. A dime of that doesn't have to go to that. That's what the city chose to do over the course of time. So, and WW money can go towards open space and trails. It's not, and they're willing to put extra, they're willing to provide leverage, like 50 grand from San Ramon can mean $500,000 with WW money, depending on East Bay Park's level of interest.
What
so, it's a parks bond that actually I think it may even be on our property tax bills. It's like East Bay Regional Park. It's like from 10 plus years ago, but it was measured WW because it went across two counties, and there's still a significant amount of money there.
Is there, how much,
I don't know how much. But I know that it's the kind of thing when you're the landed gentry, like East Bay Parks, you don't talk about how much money you have. It's unseemly, but they've got some big pot, you know, part of it had to be pushed to the communities for various things, for what the communities wanted to do with it, but most of it,
But the WW money that went to Sierra Remote, has that been spent?
I believe most of it's been spent.
Couple times over, probably.
Yeah.
And so it's always just, oh yeah, we need a jungle gym, boom. Okay. And I'm like, wait a minute, time out here. There's more. Or some of it was also, there was debate about using WW money towards the, what never happened, the artificial turf that was talked about at Central Park. So I don't know if there is any money left within San Ramon for that, but my point is that if you approach East Bay, because Bob Doyle has talked to me about this before, he goes, look, there's, you know, they would put money towards some particular things if we put some. So it's, you know, they don't just match, they're willing to provide some leverage if it's something that they're really interested in.
Right.
So that's the point of coming to them with our thoughts, like, look, we want to integrate, what do we got, how do we do this? It starts fitting into their thought process. Okay, 4 years out, we're going to want to spend some money in San Ramon or next to San Ramon. Let's start thinking about that. So it isn't a high, we're here, it's 2020. Well, right. Where were you 4 years ago? This is why it's such a great opportunity to me to think through, because there are pots of money, but you got to, you got to work for it. You got to come through with some ideas for them.
Yeah, you know, as Eric talked a little bit about what's happening in Dublin, we need to be careful because we will get the creep from them.
Oh, yeah.
There will be people from Dublin that will immigrate over to our facilities over in San Ramon simply because they don't have them. So, you know, at some point, if we can, you know, strike some
check
deal.
Their ID, huh, Tom?
No, you're the wall. That's just playing. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because their density is going to be so horrendous that when they start looking up over on the open hills and that, guess where they're going to go?
I have, like,
one question first, because we have this, like, you know, the trail map. Are we going to put those maps on the trailheads within the city limits, or like, you know, there are some people, there are some trails basically, if you don't go there, you don't even see them. So maybe it's a good idea to put it somewhere, you know, at the entry, and people will know actually if I enter through this gate, I can go actually back to the place I'm going in. Then they will be willing more to take the trail and just have some.
Didn't we talk about that? What, are you talking about the big full size maps that we just had made?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be very big, though. So
kind of expensive to have it every.
To make smaller.
To make like a smaller little pamphlet style for just that is within where you go, right at where you are, not for the whole city, but just.
So that actually makes people easier to access.
Yeah. There's an interesting question about what makes a trail great. So what are some basic infrastructure pieces? Is it, you know, have you get those trail maps, but also things like trying to find ways to put water out of trails. Mm-hmm. Right,
restroom,
I mean, that's
water.
Restrooms. What these are kind of things that,
okay.
as we look at, how hard would that to be, and how do you do that, and who's done that before?
So that would be part of this master plan. Also,
showing people how to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
And also see some like trail runners. They usually run on the road halfway out, and then mm-hmm. another halfway back through the trails.
Yeah.
And if we can help them. We might get more kind of publicity.
Yep. But so one last question for you. You know, I was looking at the Palo Alto plan. It actually is called the Parks, Trails, Open Space, and Recreation Master Plan. So we could actually make a request as a committee, I don't know if it will be adopted by the Parks Commission ultimately, to actually have trails and open space in the master plan itself. If that's, we feel
I
like
think
that's.
I think it
the
should
post
be.
Park open space.
Yeah, we can make that request. I think that is something that your commission should probably decide. It would be a sea change for the community to see that way. I think what we do as part of our discussion would be to actually ask that to be the name of the plan itself. And then as it goes to the commission to say, this is what we're going to do. To have the commission, the Parks Commission, say, okay, we're okay with that. The reason is, I think, as much as we bring the concept of trails and open space into the naming of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, it helps move them forward. And we brought some of that
Absolutely.
Into some of the council goals, and talking
right.
about land use, planning for retail, commercial,
right.
residential, and open space. So. Okay. It didn't seem like the city council objected to any of that
yeah.
concept.
Okay.
Well, it's hard to suggest.
Well, but also, we'd also throw a lot more emphasis when we're surveying the community into open space and trails, because if we direct the consultant that we actually have a lot of information we want to gather in that area about what people want, how they want to use it, what they know about it already, then
yes.
that could also provide a lot of great information.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That would be key.
For the parks, actually, I have a comment as a resident myself. I noticed, like, especially in the summertime, there are quite a number of like driving schools. You know, actually, they have kids, you know, learning driving along those parks. It's pretty dangerous because you have all the kids running in and out of
really?
The parks, and while the learners are actually driving and running over there. And I've seen there
crazy.
one particular resident was talking to me because their car got
it's
wrecked
or something.
Oh my!
Wow.
Because the learner actually bumped into their car, crashed into their car, and then they left. I was thinking, maybe is it possible to put some like bumpers along those parks? You know,
speed bumps.
Yeah, speed bumps. Oh.
We have them in some of our areas, but that's the type of thing that somebody could bring up in this whole master plan process, is that we need more speed bumps in the parking lots for our parks for safety.
There you go.
So that would be probably something that could potentially.
Can we also make the parks smoking free?
They are already smoking free.
I still see some people smoking
people
marijuana.
Do, but
marijuana.
Well, that's different. That's for health reasons.
That's not smoking. That's not counted as smoking.
It's part of our ordinance. It's in there. We adopted that, but you're not supposed to hit the park yet.
But it could be more signs.
Yeah.
Can I report them if I saw them? I see them?
Yeah.
Call the police?
You can. I'm not sure
but
you can.
Usually they don't come.
I won't get a response.
Yeah.
Well,
Most people, it's education. Most people just don't realize that the park is included in that because they think they're outside and so their chauffeur should be okay. But if our staff do see them, they will send them out to the perimeters because you can't smoke on the street, just not in the park.
Okay. Kathy, anything else from folks here?
I think I've got quite a few little good points here. Okay. So.
Got a whole page here.
Yeah.
So we have, 55 developed parks in the city, is that the number?
It's 57.
Yeah. 57, and then there's the one up on the west side that hasn't been built yet.
There's several that are in process right now that are in the plan process. So it's the Faria Park, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's
the Chang Park, potentially. Yeah. There's what was, used to be named Rose Glen. That's changing names up in Windermere. And then the Rancho Phase 2.
There was one on the west side.
Yeah.
On top of West Side Drive.
Right, because we hiked up it because it does connect.
The
Ranch Park.
The empty spaces that aren't developed are.
Yeah. And then there's the one I would call it down by the outpost. Okay.
Right. I was talking about the ones that actually had plans. You're talking about space that hasn't been developed yet, but that's planned to have a park someday.
But the Woodlot and the property along the over by the outpost.
The Culligans. It's called the Creekside.
Creekside. Mm-hmm. They have been in the master plan for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because there are conceptual drawings of those.
Yeah. Well, as I said, the Creekside Park is in the Crocana Pacific one.
Yeah. Right.
At the time it was drafted back in the mid-2000s. So, but it's the Henry Ranch one that I was thinking of because. Mm-hmm. I've heard people talking about developing that and why the west side has a paucity of developed parks for people to use. That's what I've been hearing for 10 years at least. But
that one has really good trail connections to it and will eventually connect to the East Bay Parks new addition. So, I mean, that's.
There's an interesting conversation about that west side. What I'd like to understand is, does the west side actually have not enough parks, or is it not enough parks relative to the amount of parks that were built in the planned development on the east side of town? Because in those planned developments, like Toll Brothers did, you'll have parks. It's kind of master planned out,
mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy.
I think somebody could sit down with the population and do the calculation. And my personal bias is the west side is underdeveloped as far as parks in relationship to the equation that's in a master plan for the city.
So in your time, the timing is correct. The master plan is the perfect time to say a consultant, do the calculation for the distance between a person's residence and a park. How far would you have to walk? And I think that's the data you're looking for. It's like, is it in the miles, at 2 miles, at 3 miles? Yeah. Where are we short?
Well, the other statistic is 6.5 acres for every 1,000 people.
Yeah.
That's one. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. It's broken down into 4 point something for community parks, and then 2 point something for neighborhood parks.
Right. That's distance to a park from your residence.
And especially with what you're looking at the Crow Canyon specific plan, there's nothing over on that side except what's going to go into Faria.
That's right.
Yeah. So the other metric that might be interesting that I don't think we have is distance from your house to a trailhead that would connect you to all the other resources is probably another pertinent one.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for including us. That's great. All right. What is next?
The walk.
Oh, the walk, the discussion. Okay, well, John and I, Don was there.
Mm-hmm. I think you were all, Eric, were you there at the walk, too?
No, not on the walk. We went to the
Krista was there. Trigger. So,
I didn't go on
the
walk.
Yeah, but you helped with the booth. You did good with the booth. Yeah. So I guess the only thing, since Kathy's still here, it was great turnout. I don't know, we had like 30 people from each side. We walked here. The mayor was with John, and that was really fun because they did a history walk. I was with Harry
from Cal High. It was really well received. We had new people that hadn't used the trail. We had people that had used the trail. Those walks are really popular, though. So I think part of the plan that I presented was we do want to do at least one a quarter.
Yeah.
And so we have to work with your schedule, because it seems like it does need to be somewhat connected to parks and community services. So maybe some further point we can kind of map them out for the year.
We would love to do that.
Yeah.
Actually, it's much easier for us the further out we plan, the better.
Yeah.
The happier our staff are, because we can then make sure we're not cloned everything on one weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think we all agree we probably want to continue doing that. It's a great way to promote the open space.
Everyone I talked to loved it.
They loved it.
Great time.
Yeah. I think now that we have a map, I would suggest maybe at the next meeting is we sit down with the map and talk about strategically where would we want to have the walks and why mm-hmm. would we want to pick those. And I think that if we can look at it and think about it in the context of how do we drive people more to areas that have some development now, mm-hmm.
We should connect with their trails challenge too. Do you do the same trails challenge hikes on each, or
they switch them up every year.
When,
so.
When did those come out? When
they, I think it was spring.
Okay.
Probably spring.
So,
and then.
So that would make sense too, to kind of like we do the hikes along the trails challenge too.
Yeah.
And okay, so maybe
we don't do a great job of publicizing the trails challenge.
We don't.
But that was cute. Those little girls were wearing the shirts. And, I mean, it was a really great.
Yeah, it's a nice program. We poured a lot of resources to when it started, but now it's kind of in autopilot. So we could use a refresh now to attract some more attention to it.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Anything else, John?
Yeah, no, I think we should take advantage of spring and get time for something right now. It's always the prettiest.
Yeah. And our photo
people
contest.
People are anxious to get out.
Yeah. And we want to do the photo contest with the spring.
No, and I would be surprised, too, if the folks who showed up for our walk coming from the south, they're just really a high interest in hiking. And most of them are hiking every weekend, and they're looking for those kinds of activities for their kids.
Right.
And we talked about some of the, especially Bishop Ranch Open Space, a lot of people didn't know about that. That was really amazing to me. Because that's kind of our park on the west side. That's what we rely on. We don't have other parks, so that's it. So developing those trails is really important to me to see that happen. And I think in working out your master plan, I guess you've got a coordination with East Bay Regional Parks. And I think it'd be important to really tie that together, work with them while you're working with yours. Because I know right now they're looking at how are they going to make their trails in that new area that they just purchased. Where is it going to come out? How's it going to connect to what we have?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of opportunity up there for our long-range plan.
Which they seem, I'm so sorry, what was the woman's name I met with from East Bay Parks in the subcommittee?
Mm.
She came out.
Oh, the planner.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Anyway, they seemed, I thought, like really wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Something that they definitely wanted to do.
Yeah, Bob was on one hike too, and he all said that, this is obvious, we need to do this, we need to do that. Of course, it's a huge, huge chore for them. They told us it's going to be a couple of years before they're able to get all those trails in there. But where do they put them, and how do they connect to, say, Bishop Ranch? How do they come down, to our areas? There's that little buffer zone in there.
Right.
It needs to be planned. If we plan it at our end, say, okay, we're willing to invest some funds and maybe set up a parking area or something into this end, then they would know how to do their trails and their portion, and then we just link the two together.
Right.
But that's
I think what Phil was saying was, if we can find a way to partner with somebody like them, they have a much deeper pocket, and if we can show them that, we want to partner with them and we're willing to make small investments, we're just going to compound the available dollars that we can and hopefully get more access.
It's a great leverage.
As you said, John, if we put a parking lot in and now they know that they have a trailhead with a parking lot, they're going to be a lot more amenable to put dollars in to connect a trail into something like that.
Yeah.
their whole focus is on trails.
Yeah.
Trailheads.
And we want them to maintain it, not us to maintain it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Can I ask one more pragmatic question on the trails, the walks, though? Just for Jordan, because he's not here, to give me his notes. But on that, so right now we don't have one planned, right?
No,
for
we don't.
For October, November, December, January timeframe, although it does tend to get wet. So.
Yeah, no, we don't have
a plan.
So the next activity guide for us would come out in the end of November, and it will cover, I want to say, December, January, February timeframe.
Okay.
So that one, I think, is in production right now. So I don't know if we want it, if you want us to put, if we want to try it there, or if we really want to focus like on that March,
right,
you know, and do one maybe every other month in those nice months like March.
Yeah, that's probably makes more
sense.
So
you're saying four a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, normally we do that quarterly, but this quarter is so usually so wet and cold that it's not as pleasant.
Right.
So I don't. Again, it's up to you guys. We're happy to coordinate whatever it is you're.
Well, if you're talking about doing something like that, I mean, you need to think about something like what we did on the Iron Horse, okay?
Something good, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know whether we have another trail that would, you know, be worth trying to, you know, highlight.
Yeah, it needs to be paved.
Yeah, well, and again, you know, that's why the Iron Horse worked out so well.
Yeah, that's great.
So maybe every other month, doing like a March, May.
The big one to do next would be the, when it's finished, is the what used to be Dory Road, right, that connects.
Yeah.
The one we closed.
Oh, that's,
so,
what is that, the?
Connects.
Alma Creek?
Okay, connects Dory,
yeah,
Dory
it's
Road.
Old.
It's
right.
The one that used to have the access that was
yeah.
made into a trail. So it'd be a nice one to put out there.
Maybe at our next meeting, which is November, maybe we'll discuss. I don't think we need to do anything.
Right.
In this activity guide, but we'll do, I think that's
the
a
next
good
one.
Idea.
Okay, and we can get even further out. So that way, even on our website, if we know even beyond our activity guide what they're going to be, then people can see them upcoming.
Okay.
You know, it's the type of thing you make a postcard and you've got the,
right.
you know, six walks or four walks or whatever all together. So
maybe we'll make some recommendations and then give those to you, and then you guys could kind of plot them in what works with your schedule.
Yeah, I think what would be most helpful is for you to say which route
okay.
you want to take, who's going to lead them, and make sure we kind of narrow down on some of the different dates or potential dates,
okay.
and then we can make sure we can fit it all in.
Okay,
that would be ideal. But having your resource to know which trails to use would be great.
Sounds good.
So Matt, I suggest that we all look at our trail maps and bring the trail map to the next meeting, and then we put that on the agenda that we're going to have some time to discuss that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and kind of say, here are like the three or four trails that we'd like to focus in 2018.
Right.
And that would give Kathy some ideas to work from.
Yep, that'd be great. Okay. But you did, Jordan did say, I mean, I think all told you had some no-shows, but you had, I think, 95 people actually participate, so about 40 on each walk.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Good. And one of the things that I found is that we get people from outside of San Ramon. Mm-hmm. So there are people looking for hikes because we've had people from Walnut Creek, we've had people from, you know, other cities on the hikes that I've gone
right.
on. And so it actually brings people into the city. So
it's great.
It's good. Maybe they'll spend some money.
They buy lunch when they leave?
Yeah,
probably, yeah. I hope so.
Okay. All righty. So now we're on to the subcommittee reports. City Council, Eric, I don't know, do you have anything, Phil? Okay. Planning Commission, Eric.
As I mentioned, this coming Tuesday, the 17th, we have another review of the Channing property that includes the open space that I was talking about. We have an environmental document that's out for review and comment. I believe the comment period expires on Monday the 16th. So if you're interested in learning what they're proposing to do with the open space on the Channing property, you might want to at least pull up the docket, the material we get on the 17th for that. Our last meeting, we did a zoning ordinance update review, basically obtained from staff red line drawings of what are really technical amendments in the zoning ordinance. We also had a meeting in preparation for a joint meeting that's going to go with the City Council on the 24th of October, which is to discuss what portions of the Crook County specific plan we want to look at for possible amendment and change. On the 5th of September, we approved a senior facility at El Costo. It used to be the old First Interstate Bank building, if you've been in town long enough to know that. It's sort of the vacant lot where the flower shop is. We approved it for 95 units. The city council decided to review that decision, and that's in front of the city council on the 24th as well. Lastly, I was looking at stuff that's happened since our last meeting. At the end of August, the Planning Commission voted to recommend to the City Council a reduction in the upper limits of zoning in the Crow Canyon specific plan area. It was up to 50 dwelling units per acre. But what happened, at least for the projects that were proposed to us, either on a concept review or the one that we approved for the old outpost, is that with the a density bonus, which actually is required under the Crow Canyon specific plan, developers were able to set aside some units for affordable housing, and when they did that, they were allowed to bump up the density by 35%. So instead of getting 50 dwelling units per acre, what we're seeing were projects with 67 units per acre. Mm-hmm. So we recommended the City Council that they reduce the upper limit down to 35, which if they build a building with a affordable housing, which they're required to do, then the effective upper limit is actually 50, which is what the Crow Canyon specific plan visualized for that area. Okay. And the City Council approved that proposal at their meeting on the 12th. Great. So that's what we've been doing since our last meeting.
Busy.
All right.
Yeah. It's a big change.
Okay, Don, Parks and Community Services.
The master plan is the biggest thing that we've talked about most of the time, talking about it, so.
Okay, very good. Any other announcements? Then I think the meeting is adjourned. Great, thanks
so
everybody.
Our next meeting is scheduled, just as folks, I was looking real quick, our next meeting is scheduled for the 13th.
Okay.
Veterans Day is on Saturday, so the holiday is Friday.
Oh, so this was, okay.
We should be open that day, as far as I can tell.
Are you open that day?
On the 13th, we should be open.
So your holiday is Friday.
Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But normally, Veterans Day is the day. We don't. It's not a weekend holiday. It's usually that day.
Yeah. Veterans Day is on Saturday. So.
I think it's the day, but it's the 10th.
Okay, well then, we get a day off, but it's, I don't know which one it is.
We should
it's
be
probably
open.
Friday.
It's the 10th.
Yeah.
So we should be open. Thanks for coming in on Columbus Day today.
And on that,
this person's day.
And Eric, on that November 13th meeting, then we are going to talk about, I think we're going to talk about some funding, right? I mean, we had GAG on there,
yes.
Just to get an understanding of what they do and where that money goes.
Yeah, so not so much funding as much as what is the GAG, what does it do, how does it integrate into everything that we're doing?
Yeah, I just,
because it's a lot of our open space is GAD land.
A lot of space out there. So.
Right.
But all of it is practically.
Yeah, and if you get to talk about the maintenance, and we'll have new GADs, one with Faria and Chang would be in. And he's frankly anything.
Is Phil still our GAD guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Game
representative.
Phil Wong. Well, the council sits as the GAD board.
Okay.
So, but Robin Bartlett is our GAD.
Oh, okay.
He's district engineer technically, but he's the man who knows all this stuff. Rob has a great role in terms of his knowledge of the space, trails, and that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. And there's something interesting that you talk about the east-west connectivity. That's really where the GAD comes into play. So a lot of that GAD's outside the city limits too.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right.